Please remember, this is an adults-only podcast and does contain some very sensual themes. So please, only listen to this podcast if you are happy to explore your deepest sensual fantasies with me and are of a suitable age.
Hi, it's Devlin, and welcome to another episode of Wild in Bed, your destination for salacious stories, sensual satisfaction, and finger-licking good fantasies. Now, as you enjoy tonight's little chapter reading, you know you can enjoy even more intense pleasure and endless satisfaction by coming to see me at wilddesires.com, where you can test ride your own fantasies for free. Now you know this podcast is best enjoyed laying on your bed. Just loosen any clothing, put your earbuds in, and close your eyes, and surrender to the pleasure of my voice moving over and inside you. And when you're ready, take a deep breath and just hold it for a moment, and then release it with a sigh, letting go of any tension, any stress. For the next 30 minutes or so, it's just you and my voice. This is your time to relax, your time for sensuous pleasure, your time to release that inner woman. As you listen to my voice and feel the story caressing your body, as you enjoy tonight's chapter reading, From Lamb to the Slaughter. Chapter 25. Diane. To say the Rycroft warehouse is in the asshole of nowhere is an understatement. To be honest, it's about 3 miles past the asshole, down a very dirty and winding road, and then follow the mud track past the Lake of No Return. And it's there. Partially derelict, it was a storehouse for the Rycroft Timber Company before it fell into bankruptcy. A warren of corridors lead to a large open storage area. If one wanted to have weird midnight meetings, I really can't think of anywhere better. One can sacrifice as many virgins out here as they like, and no one would ever hear. Parking. There is absolutely zero sign of any activity. Shrubs and vines have long since invaded the weather-worn main reception area and claimed it as their own. I walk around the perimeter, looking for another entrance, knowing there has to be one somewhere. Eventually, I stumble across the staff entrance. Despite being covered by a canopy of shrubs and well concealed, it is nonetheless accessible. The door, which is rotted by time, opens surprisingly easy. The corridor beyond has some light undergrowth, but nothing that isn't negotiable. It's impossible to say whether it has been heavily used, or even lightly used for that matter. Taking a moment to get my bearings, I notice that there is a faint smell. I really can't say it's the smell of decaying wood, or perhaps a fire in the near distance. Somewhere not too terribly far away, there's a bang that echoes through the walls, as if something has fallen over, pushed by the irresistible onslaught of Mother Nature. Or perhaps something was dropped. Adrenaline begins to course through my body as the old building almost seems to shudder and sway with every step I take, with cold shivers racing down my spine when the hair on my neck stands erect. I reach for the pistol in my bag. Slowly, I edge forward, desperate not to make a noise, ignoring the fact that even a deaf man could have heard me drive up. Shadows drape over the walls like dancing ghosts as I take another step forward, my heart racing in my ears. I'm positive that I can hear something, and suddenly wish like hell for the comforting warmth of a familiar touch, as I pray silently that what I'm hearing isn't a very angry bear or one of those wolves I've heard about. In one of the side corridors, there is a definite movement, a flash of something dark, and the smell of fire is substantially stronger. It's nothing, I whisper under my breath, following the eerie sound to the end of the corridor. When I approach what seems to be the main storage area, there is a brazier burning over to the side. Although there are no signs of life, apart from the movement of birds in the rafters, taking careful steps along the sidewall, and keeping as close to it as humanly possible, I pass the likes of an old seating area, full of nothing now but overgrown shrubs. Another step forward, and my foot catches on some ground ivy. Shit, I utter quietly, trying to shake it off without looking down, but failing, balancing on one foot to try and pull it off with my hand. Well, if it's not Diane Hightower, thank you for coming. Adrenaline surges through me so quickly at the unmistakable, unexpected voice of Judge Halland that I feel nauseous and I stumble against the cold wall. Just as I do, I feel the sharp pain of a bar connecting with the back of my head, which knocks me to the ground and into blackness. Some minutes later, I haven't any idea how many. Everything is a blur, and I feel like I'm floating through space or in a dream. With the dizzy darkness passing little by little, and this god-awful stinging pain in my head, it takes only a second for my senses to come back fully as I realize that I am naked. My body tied firmly to a rusty metal chair, with my heartbeat echoing in my ears and my blood turning to ice. The constant cold draft of air in the old building is doing nothing to soothe my discomfort or ease my boiling anger. Judge Halland has heard me, stripped me naked. I glance downward between my shaking, chilled thighs and squeeze my inner muscles, confident and relieved that I haven't been sexually attacked as well. Diane, so glad to have you back. I will be brief, he says with a sneer to his tone. I would like to know everything about Dominic Deleuze's movements and activities. Now you might be thinking you aren't going to tell me, but I would like to introduce you to someone who I'm confident can get the truth out of, even someone like you. Nemesio Rubin is a very gifted individual in the ways of pain and suffering. Eventually you'll tell me everything I want to know. And then, he adds with that same ugly voice that makes my skin crawl, you, Diane, will die, painfully, agonizingly. So one way or the other, it is your choice. He gestures to the thin-lipped bald man beside him. Over to you, Nemesio, he says, as if introducing a stage singer, in that sing-song manner.
Let's talk about what's going to happen,
he all but spits.
We have all heard Deleuze's stories about wolves. Maybe he is indeed a wolf himself. Then again, maybe he isn't. But just to make sure you're not a wolf, I aim to break every tooth in your pretty little mouth. Then I shall pull out some of your fingernails, slowly, leisurely, to make it agonizingly painful.
He drags the side of his knife over my breasts and stomach, then pushes it between my thighs, licking his bottom lip as he glares at me with nothing but hatred. Perhaps if I scream, someone will hear. Perhaps if I suddenly become ill, the two of them will have mercy on me. I don't want to die. Not here, not like this. God help me.
I will then cut you, Ms. Hightower. All of this beautiful soft skin will be sliced away in small but thick chunks.
When you don't think the pain can get any worse, and you're writhing underneath the blade of my knife, begging me to stop. Those pretty eyes of yours pleading with mine to stop the heinous torture. That's when the real fun begins. when I proceed to scalp your pretty head of hair. I promise you it will hurt more than you can believe, but you will live even though you will be hoping to die. He brushes a fingertip across my bottom lip, then softly says, I am very good at keeping people alive while I hurt them. Then we will tie you to the saltier there, he says, motioning toward the wooden cross, where we will all fuck you. And as our cum drips from your hot little cunt, he says with a satanic evil grin, brushing a cold iron poker along my pussy, I will place this red hot iron against your swollen clit until you scream in agony. And then I will fuck your cunt so hard with it that the pain will be beyond anything you have ever known. I will keep you alive as you beg and plead with me to kill you. But I will refrain. I will continue to torture you, possibly in your ass, or maybe those pretty eyes or these lips, or maybe all three, until you tell me everything. It is your choice. You shall die. He brushes his finger over my lips, and it takes every ounce of my willpower not to bite down as hard as I possibly can. How painful your death is up to you. My eyes widen with dread and fear and hatred as warm beads of sweat trickle down my brow. I have no more strength. My will to fight is fading. My death is near. Oh, and if you think your freak friend will come and save you, he's off chasing shadows, looking for Joseph's killer. So get comfortable, Diane. You aren't going anywhere. So, folks, that's it. That's the last chapter of Lamb to the Slaughter on the podcast. Now you can still pre-order Lamb to the Slaughter, the full audiobook from my website, Wild Desires. Which has obviously got a lot more chapters. It's got about another 10 chapters yet, but I've got to leave something in the audiobook now for you to discover. So, get over there. Go on, go and pre-order it. In a few weeks, it will be out and live. And yeah, I think you'll be pleased with the... it gets a lot darker, let's put it like that. Now, on Monday. Yes, we've got some kink noir. A little bit of kink noir on Monday. It's an excerpt reading, so I look forward to you joining me then. And next Friday, Behind the Mic is launched. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that on Monday. But just to say, I'm going to be bringing you into my world. I'm going to show you exactly what happens in the world of a recording artist, the books that I record, and behind the scenes stuff, you know, exclusive excerpts, all sorts of fun stuff. Yeah, I hope you enjoy it. It's just to give you a behind the scenes look into the work I do. But for now, and always with your pleasure in mind, this is Devlin Wild, wishing you salacious dreams.
Now, as you have enjoyed this show this evening, you can go ahead and subscribe to my podcast so you don't miss another salacious episode. And you know you can go ahead and visit me at wilddesires.com and grab your own free experiential erotic story just for coming.